Good evening. This is the KRFP Evening Report for Thursday, June 10th, 2010. I'm Lee Robartis. In the news tonight, Representative Ringo says two tax auditors will vouch about secret Idaho Tax Commission deals. Man pleads guilty to threatening U.S. Senator Patty Murray, and woman testifies about rape in secure area where military personnel practice resisting torture. We'll have those stories and more coming up on the KRFP Evening Report. And live in the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho, I'm Lee Robartis, and this is the KRFP Evening Report. 64-year-old Charles Allen Wilson of Selah, Washington, pled guilty today to threatening to kill U.S. Senator Patty Murray in voicemail messages he left at one of the senator's offices. Wilson's frequent voicemails in the wake of the U.S. Senate health care vote were laced with expletives and became increasingly threatening. Murray, a Democrat, voted in favor of the new federal health care plan. Wilson was arrested on April 6th. The calls, which often came late at night or on weekends, came from a number whose caller ID had been blocked, but the FBI was able to trace the calls. An affidavit in the case quoted Wilson as saying on one of the voicemails, "I hope you realize there's a target on your back now. Kill the expletive senator. I'll donate the lead." Wilson will be sentenced in October and faces up to 10 years in federal prison for threatening a federal official. A Pierce County jury this afternoon found LaTonya Clemens guilty of two counts of rendering criminal assistance for helping her brother Maurice Clemens escape police after he killed four police officers in a Lakewood, Washington coffee shop on November 29th. Maurice Clemens was killed by a police officer who recognized him on a Seattle street 2 days after the police shootings. LaTonya Clemens faces up to 5 years in prison on the charges. The jury also acquitted Clemens on two other rendering criminal assistance charges. Clemens' attorney, Helen Whitener, said she was disappointed in the verdict and that she believes Clemens did not know about the shootings when she drove Clemens around the Tacoma area. Prosecutors allege Clemens paid for a Federal Way hotel room for her brother and gave him money to get out of the state. In another case, LaTonya's live-in boyfriend, Darkus Allen, will be tried on four charges of aggravated murder for allegedly driving Maurice Clemens to and from the coffee shop where the shootings took place. State Representative Shirley Ringo of Moscow says the names of the people who have been getting secret tax deals will come out during the course of her lawsuit as evidence is collected. Ringo said she has spoken with two state tax auditors that will vouch that these secret deals have happened. Ringo filed a lawsuit against the State Tax Commission and the Idaho Legislature this week, alleging tax commissioners have allowed wealthy individuals and corporations substantial tax breaks during secret negotiations after the taxpayers protest their tax assessments. Among the cases mentioned in the lawsuit are a state tax commissioner who, quote, reversed an audit adjustment on a friend and individual who is prominent in Idaho politics. Another example listed is a $1.6 million tax break given to a wealthy Idaho resident whose case was then removed from cases being reviewed by tax commission auditors. In that case, auditors said the wealthy taxpayer committed fraud by claiming he or she had no substantial business operations in the state. In a third case, the lawsuit alleges a tax manager for a large company told a tax commissioner during an appeal that the governor asks his opinion on all reappointments. The commissioner was a few months away from finishing his term and was up for reappointment. According to court documents, the company received a $100,000 tax discount. I spoke with Representative Shirley Ringo this afternoon about her lawsuit. How much money do you think Idaho loses due to these secret tax deals?
I don't have a specific number that anybody has given me. I think in part, there is no transparency so that we don't have complete information on it. But two retired auditors to whom I've spoken have told me that the amount is in the millions.
Do you think these tax deals are done during protest procedures, in other words, when a corporation or a wealthy person protests, or do they come at other parts of the tax commission process?
Well, usually it's as part of protests, and I think many of these individuals have learned to game the system so that they know that if they protest, they are going to get a deal. The only exception to that I know of was a situation where an individual was given a $1.6 million break before an audit, and the auditors were told not to handle the case.
Now, I've noticed that your lawsuit does not name names of recipients of the potentially illegal tax breaks. What's the reason for that?
Well, I haven't been given those names, and I think that they would very likely come out during the course of the lawsuit, but it's probably not appropriate to name them yet until we have gotten the proof that we need, and since there is that lack of transparency, some of the proof that would have to come out in court, I would think, would have to be a result of a subpoena or something like that, where the information is required to be given.
Now, has the information come to you in such a way that you're sure that this is going on? I mean, what's the path this information about these secret tax deals have followed from the recipients and the tax commissioners to you, Shirley Ringo?
Well, about 2 years ago, a gentleman by the name of Stan Howland, who's involved in this lawsuit, retired. He was a senior auditor for the tax commission. And at the time that he retired, he acted as a whistleblower and talked about these things that have been going on, where people get tax breaks because of who they know or how well they are connected politically and so on. At the time, I found it to be of concern. There were other legislators looking into it. And there was some legislation passed in 2009 that was supposed to deal with it. But I found that legislation that we passed in 2009 wasn't nearly aggressive enough, and it did not require procedures to be sure that we had uniformity in the way the laws applied, and it didn't require sufficient transparency. So I met with Stan Howland on two occasions during the last legislative session, and I found him to be a very credible individual. Since then, I've heard from another auditor who is now retired, and he said that Stan Howland's reports were completely accurate and without exaggeration. So what I've heard has been enough to convince me, and I think it certainly casts a cloud over the tax commission. And I see this lawsuit as a way to clear it up. If the reports are wrong, we'll learn that. And if they're not wrong, hopefully we'll remedy the situation.
And I understand Stan Howland objected to the reform legislation because it didn't, well, they had annual reports, but somebody reading the annual reports could not tell if the tax deals were legal or not.
Yes, I would agree. I read one of those reports myself that was given during the last legislative session, and I found it to be completely vague, and it certainly wouldn't give anybody an idea of whether any proper procedures were followed.
Now, in one of the cases that was outlined in the press, they mentioned that a person who told the tax commissioner that the governor asks for his opinion on all commission appointments And the commissioner apparently was coming up for reappointment. Do you know what governor that was under?
You know, I don't know. I think I might know, but since I'm not sure, I wouldn't probably say at this time.
Okay. And I guess the final question, if this is an ongoing practice, you mentioned millions of dollars. This is having an impact on state services if the revenue is below what Idaho should be getting.
Well, yes, I think it's huge. In the last session, we seriously underfunded many programs that are very important to the state, such as public education and higher education, public safety, I know the health care, the list just goes on. And to know that we did this, and at the same time, we possibly have people that are failing to pay the amount of tax that they owe, and we're talking about people that would have the means to do it, I think that's just appalling and completely unacceptable.
That was Democratic State Representative Shirley Ringo speaking this afternoon. Ringo is suing the state legislature and the state tax commission, claiming tax commissioners agreed to secret deals giving wealthy Idahoans and corporations illegal tax breaks. Ringo's attorney in the case is former Idaho Supreme Court Justice Robert Huntley. Idaho Attorney General Lawrence Wasdin argued that rent rates at state-owned cabin sites on Payette and Priest Lakes will be only 1.8% of market value next year. Wasdin said the amount represents a decrease in market value over the rents currently being charged, even though the actual rents will go up. He said renters currently pay 2.5% of market value. The comments came during testimony in a lawsuit Wasdin has filed against the state land board, which includes Wasdin himself, Governor C.L. Butch Otter, Secretary of Public Instruction Tom Luna, Secretary of State Ben Assersa, and State Controller Donna Jones. The lawsuit is for the board failing in its constitutional mandate to get the maximum long-term revenue from state endowment lands. The state constitution says money from state endowment lands is to be used to benefit education in the state. The trial began yesterday. The land board voted 3-2 in March to set the rental rates at the 355 cabin sites. The Pullman School Board last night voted to allow the district to apply for a $500,000 grant to help pay for a boiler for the high school and a lighting retrofit project. The state grant deadline is Friday, June 25th, and the district should know by Friday, July 1st, whether they will get the grant. The district applied for a similar grant last year but did not get it. Support Services Director Dan Hornfelt said, "This year we've got a different opportunity. We have an opportunity to address something that has been on our mind for a while." Hornfelt says if the district gets the grant, it will save $21,000 in energy costs in the first year of operation. A 27-year-old woman testified yesterday that she was raped in a secure facility at Fairchild Air Force Base last October by a man who gave her a tour of the off-limits area where members of the military practice waterboarding on each other. Civilian contractor Michael Fassbender, who works with the Sear Solutions Incorporated company of Spokane, is on trial for 3 counts of first-degree rape and 1 count of second-degree assault. Sear, or S-E-R-E, stands for Survival, Evasion, Resistance, and Escape. The 4'9" woman said she met Fassbender through an online dating service, and after dinner, the 32-year-old Fassbender took her to an area of Fairchild that he told her was off limits to the public and most military personnel. The woman said she had been put at ease by Fassbender's online profile because her husband, who she is divorcing, is a military police officer. She testified, "It made me feel safer because police officers are supposed to be good people. He showed me his military ID with a security chip and everything. He told me his sister-in-law was a judge in Airway Heights and he could get away with rape, pillage, and murder. I took it as a joke." She said Fassbender got firewood from a mock prisoner of war camp, and the two drank wine and listened to music. She said Fassbender then escorted her into the interrogation building so she could use the bathroom, but he told her to leave her cell phone outside because she couldn't have it inside the building because it was a secured area. The woman testified that Fassbender told her the building teaches soldiers how to deal with torture and interrogation. He said it was classified information. The woman said she told Fassbender no and pushed him away after he groped her. He then took her clothes off. The woman said he kind of started doing an interrogation on me, and he told me that I was really naive for coming with him. I started getting really scared. He told me, no one knows you are here. You could just disappear. No one would hear you scream. She said he called her a whore during intercourse and then started to choke her. She said, I told him to stop. Stop, you are hurting me. She said she thought she was going to die, and he raped her until she lost consciousness. The Spokesman Review asked Spokane County Deputy Prosecutor Sharon Headland if the Air Force asked her to refrain from talking about what was inside the classified facility during the trial, and Headland replied, they are working with us. First Lieutenant Casey Osborne told the paper, the reason we have those restrictions about what we do at SEER is because we take people who could fall into adversaries' hands and try to train them to resist. If we publicize a lot of that information, then someone who wants to do us harm could develop counter tactics. Osborne said the security breach at the facility will, quote, not affect our relationship with SEER Solutions Incorporated. The paper said Osborne did not elaborate on that comment. A storm dumped a half an inch of rain in Lewiston in a 20-minute period yesterday afternoon, resulting in water 4 to 5 inches deep flowing down Bryden Avenue and other Lewiston Orchard streets. There were also unconfirmed reports of a funnel cloud spotted outside of Clarkston. Hail the size of peas also fell in Lewiston and Lewiston Orchards. Meanwhile, last week's flooding in Idaho County has caused $1 million in damages to county roads. Idaho County Clerk Rose Gehring reports getting calls from people who said flood had damaged their land. Gehring told the Lewiston Tribune, as of now, we don't know where they can get help. Acting Idaho Governor Brigadier General Bill Shaver declared a state of emergency in Idaho, Valley, and Adams counties Tuesday due to the flooding. The National Weather Service canceled a flood watch for northern Idaho yesterday, and there are no flood warnings in effect currently. Shaver, who is the state's assistant adjutant general, is acting governor, while Governor C.L. Butch Otter and Lieutenant Governor Brad Little are both out of the state. Because of the high water, Idaho Fish and Game has extended the salmon fishing season on the Upper Clearwater River and the Middle Fork of the Clearwater. Instead of closing this coming Sunday, the season will close Sunday, June 20th, a half hour after sunset. Fish and Game biologist Larry Barrett, based in Lewiston, said the idea was to make up for some lost fishing opportunity because of the high water. The extended fishing opportunity is available upstream from the Orofino Bridge. Fired Whitman County Finance Director Beverly Devine says poor communication between county commissioners and other county employees has led to the turmoil in county government. Devine was fired on Tuesday, June 1st. She told the Daily News her job could have been saved if commissioners had spent more time finding out how the finance department works. She said Commissioner Greg Parch had never visited her office to find out about her work. Assistant Finance Director Sharon Cunningham, who quit 2 days after Devine was fired, said she made her decision to quit after the county's IT department confiscated Devine's computer without talking to her first. Cunningham had earlier said there were a number of reasons for her decision to quit, not just a single reason. The finance department now only has 2 employees. Parch did not comment to the paper on Devine's comments except to acknowledge that communications in the county government could be better. A local water testing company with laboratories at the Eastside Marketplace has received an Environmental Protection Agency contract to test water from the Gulf of Mexico that may be contaminated by the BP oil gusher. Eco-Analysts Incorporated does biological assessments to evaluate the conditions in a body of water by counting various organisms. EcoAnalysts is North America's largest bioassessment laboratory. EcoAnalysts CEO Gary Lester told the Daily News, "You can tell a lot about the environment and these particular places based on what's living there. We can tell a lot by the biological community, the animals, the critters, who's there and who's not there and who should be there to get a pretty good indication of the environmental quality at the site." Friday's deadline for Washington candidates to file varies from county to county. The deadline for paperwork at the Secretary of State's office for statewide offices or any offices that cross county lines in their districts is 5 p.m., but budget cuts have reduced hours at a number of courthouses. The deadline for candidates in Spokane County at the courthouse will be 4 p.m. Friday, 3:30 p.m. in Stevens County, 4:30 p.m. in Adams County, and 5 p.m. in Whitman County. The deadline for candidates who file online is 4 p.m. Friday. Well, that's it for the KRFP Evening Report for tonight. Taking a look at the weather from the National Weather Service, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, 50% chance of precipitation, cloudy otherwise, low 45, west-southwest winds, 10 to 15, gusts up to 20. A 40% chance of showers with thunderstorms possible after noon tomorrow, mostly cloudy, high 64. 20% chance of showers early tomorrow night, otherwise mostly cloudy, low 45. And mostly clear weather Saturday through Monday, high 73 Saturday, 75 Sunday, and 70 on Monday. Lows around 50. Currently at the Moscow Pullman Airport, 55 degrees and overcast. Thanks for tuning in to the KRFP Evening Report. Talk Nation Radio is next, followed by Flashpoints, the daily investigative news magazine from Pacifica Radio. I'm Lee Robartis. Have a good night. Alan Solon's on with music at 7:30 p.m. This is KRFP Moscow.